This is a rain rerun.
The rain report for the week beginning January 14th, 2006, one day after my birthday, will commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of January 14th, 2006, this is the Rain Report, amateur radio's weekly audio magazine of the Internet. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. School radio clubs are typically sponsored and driven by a motivated faculty member or parent. Argyle, the amateur radio group of youth in Lowell Radio Club of Lowell, Michigan, is no exception. However, in the fall of 2003, 16-year-old Chris Gerard earned the call sign KC8WBU. Chris became a driving force behind Argyle becoming its president a year later until his graduation from home school in June 2005. At age 17, Chris took Argyle's faculty sponsor, Alan Ekman, WW8WW, on his first plane ride. No, not Alan's first, Chris's first. You see, Chris earned his pilot's license at age 16, but according to Ekman, by law, Chris had to wait until his 17th birthday to take his maiden flight. This week, we bring you an excellent presentation given by Chris Gerard during the Youth in Amateur Radio Forum at the 2005 Dayton Hamvention. And now, Chris Gerard, KC8WBU.
Just to give you a little background on myself before I launch into this, I'm 17 years old. I do a lot besides amateur radio. There's kind of a stereotype of amateur radio operators, especially young amateur radio operators, of being geeks. I don't know if I exactly fit that profile. I am a member of Civil Air Patrol. It's an outstanding organization. Also, I'm a private pilot. I do air mobile. I have a lot of fun with my life. I'm a senior, unfortunately, in graduating because I would love to be president of this club forever. Unfortunately, time passes. I'm here today representing, we call it Argyle, which stands for Amateur Radio Group of Youth in Lowell, located about 15 miles east of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we're located right at the Lowell High School. We have nearly 30 licensed members in our club, and that number has grown exponentially over this past year. We had 12 members, that would be our average membership, before this past year, and we have since shot up very quickly. We are a school-sponsored club, also a 501c3 organization, which obviously entails other advantages. Our number one recruitment tool is our technician licensing class. We hold it several times a year, basically on an as-needed basis. Our classes have ranged from 3 or 4 people up to 20 or more, and that's how we added most of our members over this past year. Almost all of the attendees that do pass their test through our technician licensing class will end up joining our club. It's very unusual for someone not to end up joining our club. So that's the number one way to build members. We also get the word of our club out through 8th grade orientation. When the 8th graders are coming into the high school, they have what they call orientation. We usually set up a booth there, make our presence known, also by talking to the freshman students as they enter their high school years. We do include middle school as well, and even elementary. We talk to them during lunch periods. I believe they call it contact is what they call that time, and we have had the opportunity to speak there as well. Being a school-sponsored club gives us several unique advantages, one of which is the use of the school for our shack and our hamfest at no cost. We have a permanent shack year-round. We're not charged at all for having it, and the school's been very good to us as far as always giving us a room in the school in which to put all our equipment. And also for our hamfest, which takes up a good part of the school, they allow us to have the whole thing that day at no cost, which obviously increases our profits very dramatically over having to rent out a facility. Also, we get to use the school's reduced rate postage. We mail out, gosh, I think it's what, around 2,000-3,000 flyers maybe, a ton of flyers for our hamfest every year, and we save several hundred dollars by getting to use reduced rate postage versus paying the full amount. Being a 501c3 organization, we've received several donations of equipment, over $3,000 worth of equipment, and I kind of doubt we would receive such large donations had it not been a tax write-off. You like to think people are good at heart, and hopefully they are. But it is a very good advantage for them to be able to write that off on their taxes. Being a 501c3 has made us eligible for several grants in our community, and you obviously have to be nonprofit in order to get those. Now, our club is run, more or less, by a cabinet. Our advisor obviously has a lot of sway, but the students elect a cabinet every year. The president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, middle school representative, and public information officer, those are the people that make up the cabinet. Now, everyone knows what a president, a vice president, secretary, and treasurer do. Middle school representative's responsibility is to communicate upcoming events, anything we need to communicate to members that are in the middle school that may not be easy to communicate to from the high school. And public information officer obviously deals with media and any coverage our club might get. Also, we have a couple appointed positions, which are not cabinet positions, but nevertheless very important, technical specialists. Actually, we added this position so we would become eligible for the ARRL Special Service Club, answering technical questions from the members on their radios. We meet monthly, first Saturday of every month. Every other meeting, they must give a report on some issue of technical interest. We've done stuff about the speed of light and the color scheme, how it filters out the rays coming in and why the sky is blue, basically. We've also done latitude, longitude, anything that's, you know, technical in nature. And, of course, any successful organization needs a solid bedrock that does not change, except when a lot of people want it to, and that's encompassed in our Constitution. And all of the regulations and bylaws that govern our club are in there. It's very detailed, it's very precise, it doesn't contradict itself or anything. It's really key to the stability of our club. There is really no situation hardly that could arise that there would not be some protocol or procedure for to deal with. So it creates a solid bedrock on which our club rests. But our club really does provide just about something for just about everyone. Periodically, we'll do interest surveys, basically go around to the members and say, what are you interested in? Are you interested in fox hunting, interested in directional finding, anything like that? In the past, we have done fox hunting several times, both with adult clubs and on our own. We've done Morse code in classes, done a lot of contests, of course, including field day. Skywarn training we do every year, so we're certified by the National Weather Service to be skywarn spotters. Also, several of us are involved in ARES, Amateur Radio Emergency Services, and we will do different events that they do, including maybe some of you know of the Riverbank Run. I believe it's the largest 25K race in the nation, or maybe the second largest, but we have thousands and thousands of people running every year. We do provide communication for that. Also, there's a program up in our area called Junior Racies, which is basically, well, the junior version of Racies. They're hoping to spread that program across the state, across the nation eventually. And what it is for those 16 or older that are interested in getting into Racies and getting a taste of Racies without the actual commitment of an adult membership. Just basically an orientation to the program, and several of us are also involved in that.
You're listening to a talk by Chris Girard, KC8WBU, given during the Youth in Amateur Radio Forum at the 2005 Dayton Hamvention. We'll be right back with the conclusion of Chris's talk. This is the Rain Report.
Now, our shack does have a lot of equipment. We've been very well endowed by donations and by other means of by purchasing equipment. We have two HF transceivers we are currently using, multiple VHF transceivers. We have a Morse code practice station, three computers. So we do have wireless internet in our shack, the whole school actually, but we do have that available. We have multiple antennas, obviously, for the multiple radios. Video center, if there's videos on just about any area of interest in amateur radio, if you're interested in a video, check out a video, watch the video there. It's a very beneficial asset to our members. Periodicals such as QST and other books like the ARR Handbook. Now, one of the most unique facets of our club is that we offer an equipment scholarship. Obviously, it's not cheap for a young person to buy an amateur radio. That's usually a lot of money to them, and the younger they are, the more expensive it seems. So what our club has done is that right now we offer a $50 scholarship to new club members as they come in after they take their licensing test to put toward the purchase of their first radio. And that obviously helps defray the cost somewhat. And until they buy a radio, we'll offer loaner radios so they can get on the air immediately. The worst thing I can think of, you know, when I go back to getting my license a couple years ago, would have been after I got those call letters and they were posted online. I was so excited having to wait 2 or 3 weeks to get a radio. That would have not been very fun. We offered loaner radios. I was able to get started the day I saw my call letters posted on the internet.
This is the ARTY.
If you guys can hear that, that is the ID for our repeater. It's K8LHS. LHS standing for Lowell High School, obviously a vanity call sign. The ID for this one was the VHF repeater. It's on 146.620 megahertz plus offset 94.8 PL. We've had this repeater for quite a few years now. That's the most heavily trafficked one. Also, we have a UHF repeater, 443.85 output and 448.85 input. We do have Echolink on our 2-meter repeater. It's a project that I pushed for quite a while, and it got done. I believe our node number 78787. Fairly easy to remember. 78787. If you're ever on the Echolink program and you see Kate LHS, feel free to give us a call, and hopefully there'll be someone out there listening and get a conversation going that way. We are looking into the possibility, and actually the probability right now, of adding a 2-meter receiver length for the 2-meter repeater. It doesn't have quite the widest coverage as we would like, so we're hoping to obviously add a receiver link to increase that. We're going to put it to the west of our current repeater site so we can cover the city of Grand Rapids and open up our repeater to many more ham radio operators. So every Wednesday, faithfully, we have a Argyle Net. It's at 9 p.m. on the 2-meter repeater. We run anywhere from 5 to 25 check-ins depending on the night. It's always run by youth club members. We do sign-ups for it at our meetings, and if we don't get all the slots filled at our meetings, we'll call around. We'll get someone to do it, to volunteer. Anyway, the youth club members always are in charge of the nets, and all of them do a very good job. There's some that are, you know, nervous first time, and yet, you know, with good coaching, they still do a great job. And there's some people like me that have done it 6 or 7 times, and I just love every minute of it. I love to talk. So what more great way to express my opinions than a net to run? It's basically a clearinghouse for all the ideas and announcements we have for the club. But basically, unlike some nets that say youth club members only, we welcome everybody to check in. We frequently do have adult hams check in, and they add quite a bit to our net with their ideas and their expertise. We also have a website that we've been working on for quite a while. On the website, we have quite a few things, and we're constantly adding to it. It's a fairly new addition for us. The Hall of Fame is something that we have on there that honors the different people that have contributed to our club. Obviously, Al Ekman, our advisor, WW8WW, is number one. He has contributed the most hours, the most time, the most energy, and the most money probably, as far as, you know, his own money for transportation and everything, than anyone else. But there's many other people that have given lots of time to our club as well, and we want to honor them there, and that's what we do. We thank them for their involvement and their commitment to amateur radio in the community. Now, with 30 members, it's harder to communicate with every member and communicate with them about upcoming events, especially coming down here to Dayton. We had to frantically get emails out. Do you have your permission slip signed? When are we going to be? Well, we're going to be meeting at 3 o'clock a.m. at the Shag. This is crazy, you know, stuff like that. Email is our number one communication thing right now. We just have a mailing list. We send it out to everybody. Hopefully everyone checks their email. Some are better about it than others. We also have mailboxes in our shack. So those members which attend the high school can go in there, pick up announcements, items of interest that are usually obviously printed and put in their mailbox. We have a monthly newsletter. Also entails announcements. Of course, our weekly net is another way we get word out about upcoming events and activities. And lastly, we have awards for those that do go above and beyond what a normal member would do. We have net awards. Our t-shirts, in order to get a t-shirt, when you join the club, you're supposed to check into the net 4 times over a 2-month period. So that's roughly 50%, assuming roughly 4 weeks in a month. And that's how you get your t-shirt, showing some interest and initiative that you're actually going to be a committed member of the club before we give you a t-shirt. Also, certificates we have, if you check in 24 weeks out of the year, 24 out of 52, you get a net certificate saying that you're an active net participant. But, you know, the one that takes the cake and checks in every week, and there are some that do, the person at the end of this year that has checked into the most gets the most active net participant award, and that's going to be a small plaque with their name on it. Very cool recognition of the time and the commitment they've had to show up every week, time and time again. And all around, the best member, the one that has contributed the most over the past school year, we give the Member of the Year award. It's a beautiful plaque with your call sign and amateur radio group of youth and Lowell on it. I always keep mine on the wall. You know, it's really a nice award. And also, to top it off, $50 cash. No one can argue that.
That was Chris Girard, KC8WBU, as excerpted from his Youth in Amateur Radio Forum presentation given at the 2005 Dayton Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio. As a postscript, Chris is now a freshman at Bethel College in Indiana, a member of ROTC, and has his own show on the campus radio station. He still finds time to serve as an assistant advisor to his former radio club, Argyle, the amateur radio group of youth in Lowell, which is open to all students in the Lowell, Michigan area. Now for Hap Holly, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, wishing you very 73 and hoping to see you at the 2006 Dayton Hamvention the weekend of May 19th, 20th, and 21st at the Hera Arena in suburban Dayton, Dayton, Ohio. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2006. Rain, all rights reserved.